The following podcast is part of the MindBodySpirit.fm podcast network.
This is the fourth in a series on daily life, as we recall it, during a brighter time in America's history. Or was it? In this episode, we talk about movies from the 80s. And shockingly, here in 2024, it's a bit disturbing to look back and see the anti-Asian racism that was up on screen back then. And even more, that we, in Hawaii, populated mainly by Asian Americans, didn't even notice it at the time. We discuss this, along with the analog movie-going experience, which included newspaper ink staining your fingertips because you had to flip the pages to the movie section.
Welcome to the podcast where it's all about living your love story and making your life a story where love wins. My name is Sienna.
And my name is Toast. We're married and we've been partners in life, love, and music since 2001, over 20 years. On this show, we share our life as an Asian American lesbian couple.
Some of our favorite topics are positive spirituality, holistic health, sometimes cats,
lesbian alert,
and other things we hope are entertaining, uplifting, and helpful for living your love story.
So here we go. Welcome to our home studio in the Pacific Northwest.
Hello, hello.
I think this is going to be the last episode in our series on 80s life as we remember it. We say we think because we started off this whole 80s thing as being just one episode, and now it's
expanded.
We're like the fourth, so
it's nostalgic.
We just can't shut up about the 80s, apparently. Okay.
But people like it right now.
Yeah. It was a less fraught time. Well, I guess in our lifetime, right?
You're very loud in my ear.
I'm sorry. You can turn me down.
Okay, there.
Loud in your ear.
All right. So what are we talking about today?
We are talking about movies.
Oh, my gosh. It was such a time for movies. Now, go ahead. What?
So the trajectory of this episode is probably going to be like recalling a bunch of different movies, and there's the cultural context overall. And then we're going to end up in 1987 and the movie Fatal Attraction.
And let me, I just want to tell the people why we chose Fatal Attraction.
Okay.
So we did not choose Fatal Attraction for this episode. No. Fatal Attraction is just part of a group of movies that whenever in our 23 years of being together, I would casually mention to Toast, oh yeah, remember that movie Fatal Attraction? She'd be like, no, I never saw it. And I would just be aghast, like, what? You didn't see it? And then so we started to create a list, and Fatal Attraction is on that list. And then we realized that that's a movie from the 80s. We can just shove it on this episode. Mm-hmm. And so here we are.
Yes.
Yeah.
And my original idea was, let's talk all about Fatal Attraction.
Yeah.
And Sienna saved you all from just, you know, being all dark and like disturbing. So we're going to have
movie,
fun.
Yeah. We'll talk a little bit about that movie. But yes. So here's what's interesting. As we were going through various movies from the 80s, the popular movies from the 80s, I didn't realize just how many great movies there were from that time. Mm. Great to me, to my heart, of just like the memories of having seen certain movies. Mm-hmm. And it was just so creative and magical.
It seemed to establish, a lot of them kind of felt like they established a type of movie. Anyway.
Yeah, like fresh, just like weird ideas. Like,
should we start? Okay, let's take a little break and then we'll start.
All right.
Talking about the 80s movies.
All right. Before we say the list, though.
Yes.
What I think is amazing is when I think about how movies were just such a part of my life growing up, like going to the movies. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I know COVID has changed that for a lot of people.
And streaming.
Yeah. You don't even need to leave your house. But going to the movies was such a thing. Mm-hmm. And I remember, I mean, it's such a different time now. But growing up in Hawaii, my friends and I, we would just take the bus and go to Waikiki. We'd be 13 years old with some cash in our pocket, and we would go and see a movie, mm-hmm. and sometimes see two movies. And by the time we got out, it'd be dark, you know, and I'm just like, we're walking around Waikiki by ourselves. That doesn't happen now, you know?
Probably not.
Yeah.
Or if it did, CPS would be called and there would be a big oh my gosh,
right?
These children are loose on the street.
We'd be out there in our uniforms from school, after school, and just going and seeing movies. Mm. What about you?
We were not doing that. But let's see. So my movie going experience is...
Well, there's only one theater where you grew up, right?
Yeah.
At the time, right?
Much, yeah.
At the time.
It was funny because, yeah, so Sienna grew up in Honolulu, and I totally
grew up... The big city.
Yeah, the big city. Big city mouse. And I was more of the country mouse, but not total country. I mean, Hilo.
No.
Hilo on the Big Island.
Baby,
you know,
city.
We did have... When people would ask...
You had Taco Bell.
Oh, it was a big deal when Taco Bell first came, though. I rode my bike down there and I ordered a burrito. Yeah. So I described the type of place that Hilo was by telling people, well, we had two McDonald's. So that kind of gives you an idea. The size of the city. But I remember when it comes to movies, we had somebody visiting us from Honolulu, right? Staying at our house, visiting. And it was like, oh, let's go to the movies. So they were like, oh, yeah, I'll look in the newspaper, because you had to look in the newspaper to find
see
what was playing and what the times were. Mm-hmm. You couldn't reserve a ticket.
No.
You had to just show up. So they
were looking. You couldn't reserve a seat.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so they were looking in our newspaper, the Hawaii Tribune Herald. And they were looking for the movie section. And they couldn't find it. And finally, when they realized, or when it was pointed out to them, it was this little section on one page. You know, it took up like, you know, 4 square inches.
Oh my
because
gosh.
Compared to Honolulu, it was like, you know, you would have big advertisements for the movies and all these different theaters. So yeah, we had, I think we had two theaters. One of them showed 3 different movies at a time. Mm-hmm. That was the big theater. And then the other one showed like one movie at a time.
Okay.
Something like that. But I remember, yeah, being dropped off, right? Being dropped off at the mall by your parents. And then you meet your friends and you stand in line and you buy the tickets. And then after the movie, then you stand in line for the payphone and call your parents to ask you to come pick you up.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
And didn't you, and back in those days, don't you remember ever just watching a movie, loving it, and then sitting to watch another, to watch it again?
I've heard of that. I don't have any distinct memory of that actually happening, like me doing that.
My friend Don and I, we saw Karate Kid together. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh my God, that was so good. Let's watch it again. She's like, okay. We stayed and we watched.
And you just sat there.
Karate Kid twice.
What about the theater staff that comes in and cleans? No?
I think you could do that then.
Oh.
You could watch it multiple times.
Or did you just like go to the bathroom and then like stand in line again?
No, we were sitting there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Anyways, so the list. Should we just rattle off some favorites?
Okay.
So I had mentioned how the 80s, it felt so creative and inventive when it came to creatures. So there were things like Gremlins.
Yes.
Right?
Gremlins.
And E.T.
Yeah.
Right? And even Never Ending Story.
Oh my
so
God.
So
I totally forgot. Yes.
Fantastical.
How funny.
And
like a bunch of Muppets.
Yes. And did the Goonies have a creature?
I don't remember that.
Okay. Well, I was wondering about the Goonies. And you have a little side note on the Goonies.
I do.
For Astoria, Oregon.
Oh, yeah. So in a previous episode, we talked about doing a day trip to Astoria, Oregon, and they have like a film museum there that is housed in the building that apparently was featured in The Goonies. I don't know. You know, we might have to watch The Goonies because I know I saw that.
I saw it a long time ago, yeah.
But not since the 80s probably, right? You know, that one, you know what's coming to mind along with that is Adventures in Babysitting.
Yes.
That must have been an 80s movie. Gosh. I don't know for sure. But.
And for the lesbians, everyone was in love with Elizabeth Shue.
She was the Karate Kid
love
actress.
Interest as well. Yes. Yep. Yeah. She played soccer in real life. Everyone knows, every lesbian knows who that is. All right.
Every lesbian from our generation.
Yes.
And non-lesbian too, probably. But yeah, E.T., my God. That was like Avatar-level sensational movie, and it's kind of amazing that there was no sequel.
No.
Isn't that kind of like remarkable?
Well, because he went home.
Yeah, but they could always have, you know, written something, right? Like he returns again, like Jesus Christ returning again.
I had the T-shirt.
I'm sure I did too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everyone, when you were growing up in the 80s and you loved a movie, you had the T-shirt.
Mm-hmm.
You just
that was a way to participate in the culture.
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Now, we already did talk about this movie, but it deserves being mentioned again.
Okay.
The Outsiders.
Yes, we have a whole episode about
The Outsiders.
We can
link that. But The Outsiders, oh my gosh. Okay. What amazing casting for that movie with all the future top stars like Tom Cruise.
Risky
Patrick
Business.
Swayze. Yes.
Dirty Dancing.
Yes. All these people.
I was going to say Daniel LaRusso.
Ralph Macchio.
Yes, Ralph Macchio is his actual name. Karate Kid. It's so, what's funny to me is how since you and I were born and raised in Hawaii and come from, you know, Asian backgrounds, like when we talk about martial arts.
Yes.
We talk about karate. That's how we pronounce it.
Oh, right,
right. Right. When we talk about the martial art, karate. Mm-hmm. But when we talk about the movie,
it's Karate
Kid. It sounds weird to say Karate Kid.
Right.
So strange to me. Okay. Footloose.
Yeah.
Aliens.
Footloose. Well, it was a big decade for music infused movies. So we had Footloose, right?
Oh, yeah. That soundtrack was crazy, yeah.
We had Purple Rain.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh, right?
Mm-hmm.
Purple Rain. We had Flashdance.
Oh, yeah.
All the
Top
popular.
Gun.
Yep. All the music-infused movies. Mm-hmm. And,
you know, speaking of music, I'm sorry, were you going to say
go
more
ahead.
On that?
Go ahead.
Speaking of music, I'm also recalling how because I liked Star Wars, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the 80s also saw The Empire Strikes Back and Return of the Jedi.
Mm-hmm.
And then we also had Indiana Jones came out at that time.
So good.
So because I liked those movies,
yeah.
You know, I got the soundtrack because that's another thing, like as you
Is
said,
that John Williams?
Soundtrack. And I think that's what probably was the catalyst for my enjoying just this kind of cinematic, symphonic type of music. In addition to pop music.
Yes.
With lyrics and synths and electric guitars. I also just like, you know, the old-fashioned orchestral type of
oh my gosh
music.
Is this going to be the last episode? I'm thinking about 80s music. We talked about...
We did talk about that.
No, we just talked about like modes of how we got the music. We didn't talk about artists.
Oh, like cassettes and
songs.
Stuff. Oh my gosh.
And
we'll
that
see.
Is a whole
this
other
is how it
level.
Happens.
All right. Also,
oh,
yes, go ahead.
This is where you were going, but all those John Hughes films talking about music, right? Music was so central to like Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Mm-hmm. So Ferris Bueller's Day Off, there was
Breakfast
also
Club.
Breakfast Club, there was 16 Candles, there was Pretty in Pink.
Mm-hmm.
And as a girly person, watching those movies, like you just wanted to be in love. That's as a teenager,
that, yeah,
as a young, you just wanted to be in love and you wanted to have that relationship where you'll be happily ever after.
Right.
You know?
Yes.
And in so many of these movies, fashion was such a big thing. Mm-hmm. Pretty in Pink. Mm-hmm. Right? Molly Ringwald's dress. Like, you wanted that dress.
Those movies were kind of the, as far as we could tell from our perspective, mm-hmm. it was the precursor to, like, Mean Girls. Right? It was...
But we were nicer then.
In yes. our mind, it established the high school movie genre,
yeah.
right? Where there's all yes. kinds of clique behavior right. and like, judgments based on somebody's, you know, judging books by their cover mm-hmm. and all that stuff. And then you're going to have a scene where there's this inspiring speech about how, you know, each person should be respected and valued for their, right? That's...
Right, because we also had Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
Okay.
Right? We also had Fast Times at Ridgemont High.
Which I don't think I've ever saw.
Just the high school. Okay, put that on the list. You are missing essential, as a lesbian toast, you're mm-hmm. missing essential visuals of Phoebe Cates.
Oh, all right? Okay. I like Phoebe Cates.
In the red yeah. bathing suit.
Oh, see, I don't know what you're talking about.
If you even know about Phoebe Cates. Mm-hmm.
I know about her from Gremlins. She was in Gremlins.
Okay. That's not the Phoebe Cates you want to know.
Oh. Okay.
All right. So anyways, better put that on the list. All right. And, mm-hmm. and Mystic Pizza,
mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
which prepared us for Julia Roberts' Pretty Woman.
Was that the 80s?
Now, was Pretty Woman in the 80s? Okay. I was going to ask you, can Google you please it. Quickly fact
yes.
check
see,
that?
See, we can Google
I have
days.
A feeling it was.
Let's see. I don't think it was. I think it was. I was going to say.
I
predict when I come up, Google is going to tell us it was. You're right.
1990.
Okay.
Well, we could just throw it in there. I remember when we went to go see Pretty Woman because it was such a big deal. Right?
Okay.
It's Hawaii. It's a Waikiki theater.
Okay.
We bought tickets. They oversold the tickets.
Okay.
All right. So my friends and I, we just went. We went almost up to the front, and we just sat in the aisle.
They let you do that?
Well, no. Oh. We watched a quarter of the movie, mm-hmm. and then they went and dragged us out. And so I'm like, and I got so mad at them.
I paid for my ticket.
Yeah, we were like, there's no, you know, and then mm-hmm. they said, well, you can catch the next show. So we had to just wait around.
Wow.
But... they shouldn't have oversold the tickets. But we were sitting, right? We were riveted and in the story, in the aisle. Mm.
Did you catch the sexism? Did you notice the sexism at that time?
Back then, no.
And that's why we're going to transition now
all right.
to talking about Fatal Attraction.
Okay.
Because all of the isms, racism, sexism, but more, let's just stick with the racism mm-hmm. for the Fatal Attraction
okay.
Example. That's what has been so striking about you and I revisiting, rewatching these, you know, I guess, classic, quote unquote, mm-hmm. movies
yeah.
from, yeah, back in the 80s, 90s. It's fascinating to me because especially having been born and raised in Hawaii, again, mm-hmm. and being of Asian descent.
Which are most people
in Hawaii. Hawaii at that time was definitely overwhelming majority mm-hmm. Asian population.
Yeah.
Right? I have described it as saying, like, Asians are the whites of Hawaii.
Yes.
Kind of.
Yeah.
Or at least they used to be back in the 80s. So when we saw Fatal Attraction, and this was months ago now. Mm-hmm. Oh, I interrupt myself to say there are spoilers. So if you have not seen Fatal Attraction, we're going to talk about it, just so you know. Okay. So, but when Fatal Attraction came, right, we're like, oh, we're going to watch it. The first scene is about, it takes place at, I guess it's a book launch, and it's mm-hmm. this fancy-ish party. Mm-hmm. And the book is some kind of personal development book based on the Japanese, like, samurai. Mm-hmm. But, of course, in the movie, they call it samurai. Mm-hmm. And part of the shtick, part of the promotion for the book in this, you know, cocktail party is this character who's dressed up in a wig, and I think there was face paint, and with a sword maybe waving around. I don't know. It's been a while since we saw it. But the general gist of it was that it kind of felt like blackface, but it was yellowface, I guess, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. I think the person playing the samurai was actually Asian, but just the feeling of it was that, oh, how cute, you know, like, mm-hmm. look at this. And I was like, wow, okay, that's very interesting. You know, it was notable in 2024.
Yeah.
But in 1987, when it came out, did not even register. It was like, yeah, that's how it is. Mm-hmm. And then later on in the movie, there's another scene where the guy who's in the book industry and helping to promote this book, they're having dinner with another couple, and he kind of makes reference to the book. And in their banter and conversation on the table, there is another reference to, it's like, oh yeah, rah, rah, you know, like making like fake Asian-ish sounding sounds refer to the book.
And the language.
And again, it was like, oh my God. Like, if that was portrayed in a movie now in 2024, mm-hmm. I think people would be like, no, we really shouldn't do that.
Yeah.
Yeah. And what struck me was that even in Hawaii, even in our culture,
where we didn't even notice it.
We didn't register that as being racist against us, essentially.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what really was like, wow. And then it reminded me of those John Hughes films. I had to Google it to find the specific film, but it was 16 Candles, a 1984 American coming-of-age comedy film. And there was a character in there named Long Duk Dong, the one Asian character who was there to be laughed at.
Yeah.
For comic relief.
I know.
And all of us Asian people,
laughing.
All of us Asian schoolers in Hawaii were totally fine with it.
Yeah.
We knew they were making fun of the Asian character on screen, and we laughed at it too. Mm-hmm. So it's just interesting to process that from this distance and be like, huh.
Yeah.
How much of that is like internalized racism, basically? Right. Like, yeah, we'll be fine with that. You can laugh at the one Asian, quote, representation in this film, you know. Yeah.
And that guy, that actor, was probably 35.
Well, back at the time.
I don't know. It's just so crazy.
Yeah. Yeah.
But see, are we going to feel sensitive about, like, is that going to be something later, right? Like when you look at Grease, the movie Grease, right?
Okay. I have
these like people who are in their late 20s.
Who are obviously in their 30s.
Or
30s, maybe,
right? Yeah. Some of them were in their
30s. Playing high schoolers.
Playing a 17 and 18 year old.
Yeah. But see, I feel like in Grease, it felt a little different because the writing and the presentation of that production, it kind of felt like these characters are obviously just like they're types. They're they're archetypes. Mm-hmm. They're less meant to be individual human people.
Mm. Maybe.
You know? So I guess that's how I kind of processed it now. I know what you mean when I see it. And at that time, now looking back, it's like, man, no wonder we had like, or I'll speak for myself. I had this complex about like what it meant to be, you know, in high school or something. Because it's like,
that was not your high school
experience. Yeah, it's like, we don't look like that. is something wrong with us? You know, like we should be more grown up by now.
Anyways, but what were some of the spoilers for Fatal Attraction?
Okay, because the biggest spoiler.
People don't even know what this movie's about. Maybe you need to just kind of tell like what it's about.
Okay, so, well.
Because we talked about aspects of it that really wasn't about, it wasn't.
That's true. It was not about racism.
With it.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was about a man who's married with children, who has a
fatal attraction.
Who has like an unplanned kind of affair. It's been a while since I've seen it, right? A while meaning like a few months. but
he
there's
has an affair.
An affair happens.
Yeah. He has an affair with the wrong woman who is not stable.
He makes a bad decision and doesn't realize that the woman that he's had an affair with, and that now he wants to cut off the affair, and he's like, we're done. That's it. No.
He can't do it.
The woman is like, oh, no, you think we're done? No, we're not
I'll
done.
I'll tell you when we're
yeah,
done.
Yeah, and she just is attracted to him in a fatal kind of way, basically, and really comes after him and his family. And here's the spoiler, is one of the scenes involves this woman picking up
the
man,
Ellie.
Picking
She's
up
so
the
cute.
Man's daughter at her school and basically kidnapping her, right, as a way to try and hold on to this dude. But that's the anachronism. It's like nowadays, the school would not let
a
non-authorized person pick a kid up.
Who didn't fill out paperwork.
Right, yeah. And who was pre-approved to pick up. So that's nice that, you know.
Yeah, it's different. That's a good.
That if you have an affair with the wrong person, you can rest assured your child will not be picked up by them.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Nor their rabbit being boiled.
Yeah, their rabbit will not be boiled.
Pet rabbit being
hopefully.
Boiled.
That was one of the loopholes I thought in the story, whereas like this, the woman, right, does the psycho thing of killing the daughter's pet rabbit.
Mm-hmm.
And even after that happens in the family's own house, when they're not home, obviously, but they come home to find the rabbit having been boiled on their stove, the wife of the man who had the affair still insists to be left alone in the house with her child, with the child.
I
don't know. To me, I would be like, yeah, I would still be pissed that my partner had the affair, but I would be like, but can you stay? Because if this person boiled rabbit, I don't know.
Or like to leave the house.
Get the hell out of the house.
Right.
Yeah, true. Right.
I mean, they were so rich.
Right.
Right?
Right.
Finances wouldn't be in the way of staying overnight at a hotel or staying a week. Get a week rate.
Right.
I don't know.
I have one more note about a loophole that I had a problem with.
Sure.
And this involves another thing that we don't have these days or that we don't refer to these days, which is the phone book.
Okay.
So back in the day, you would have the white pages and the yellow pages. And in order to find somebody's phone number, you would look them up alphabetically, right? But this woman, the psycho woman, claimed that she was pregnant and gave the guy a business card, right, of the supposed, I guess,
doctor to verify.
Right. Yeah. And he doesn't even, like, we don't see
Fact
any
check.
Scene. Yeah, we don't see any scene of him going to a phone book and seeing, does this doctor exist? But I don't know. But anyway,
well,
that's enough
me,
rambling
just say,
about fatal
Let me just say something with fatal attraction, because for people who have not seen it.
Well, we just ruined it.
Right? We ruined it for you, but also it's still worth seeing because it, at the time, was the most scandalous movie out there.
It made a sensation.
Yeah.
Because
of the psychological thrilling aspect of it.
Yeah. Just how psycho this woman turned out to be.
Yes, how crazy and how you better watch what you do.
You better not have an affair because this is going to end up happening to you.
Right. And at the time too, what was so different is that they cast Glenn Close as the love affair interest.
As the psycho person.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah.
And she is not your standard classic beauty.
Right.
And so it really got, I think, in people's heads that affairs can just happen.
It's not about a beautiful, this spectacularly beautiful woman.
Right, like a crazy beautiful woman. Like, it's just attraction, whatever that's going to mean. And she did exude a confidence.
Yes.
In this movie.
Yes.
That he was really drawn to. Michael Douglas was really drawn to. But it was a really different kind of movie because she wasn't so sexy and beautiful and, you know, but she was confident. She was a confident businesswoman and he loved that. It's obviously he loved that. And so it really was twisted. And it was one of the first, I think, twisted, really twisted movies that came out about affairs that freaked everyone out, I think.
Yeah. It's a movie that's great for conversation.
Because when you think about that, like if that happened, oh my God.
Yeah.
How do you get rid of that person or,
well,
you know?
And the other twisted thing I think about it is that as the movie progresses, you're seeing how, okay, that woman, the psycho woman, becomes like, okay, she's the enemy because she's the psycho one, right? She's the bad one. We have to defeat her. She's doing all the bad things. And yes, her character is, but at the same time, it's like the guy cheated also.
The guy cheated also.
But he becomes the quote, good guy as the movie progresses. You know what I mean?
Yes, but I will say that really the good person was the wife.
Well, yeah.
I will say that. But if I had to choose between the guy and the girl.
When you say the girl, do you mean the Glenn Close character?
Yes. I still would choose the guy.
Well, yeah, me
because,
too.
Because with Glenn Close's character,
she's boiling rabbits.
She was killing.
Yes, no,
she
I totally
knives.
Agree. Totally
so
agree.
I don't think there's enough room. Like, she came to the table with psychological issues. He didn't create those psychological issues in her.
Yes.
She already had them.
No,
you know?
I agree.
He just maybe triggered them.
Right.
But I'm like, yeah, no, if I take a bath and I'm cleaning my steamed mirror, I just got out of a nice warm bath, cleaning my steamed mirror, looking inside my mirror and I see her suddenly behind me. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's an issue, you know?
Yes.
Like,
that's an invasion. That's a like, breaking of boundaries.
And she just happens to be in my bathroom somehow?
Nope.
No.
No.
That's, I don't
Not
want
allowed.
That.
No. Yeah. And I guess, but see, that speaks to, this is one of those stories where there's no like clear good guy, bad guy, which is how I think a lot of movies and TV shows have evolved to these days, right? Where movies like Succession or TV shows like Succession.
Oh, so good.
You know what
so
I mean? Where it used to be, oh, there's a good guy and there's a bad guy.
Right.
And now things are very much more complicated, complex.
Yeah, so. She's still a bad guy. But anyway.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
There's, anyway.
Yeah.
Okay, you know
All
what
right,
I mean?
We, keep
we gotta wrap
about
this thing
All right.
up, people. Thank you for listening. Thank you for going with us down memory lane. We hope you enjoyed it. And I don't know. We have yet to see if there's going to be more 80s episodes. But whether there is or there isn't, you just keep on living your love story.
I'm Rachel Corpus, an angel communicator, psychic medium, and host of the Angel Talk podcast. This show is meant to help you remember who you are, a limitless being with shoes and socks on. And along the way, we'll connect to people on the other side and experts in the field like authors, healers, animal communicators, and more. Listen to all my shows at Mind, Body, Spirit FM or wherever you get your podcasts.